Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. And today my guest is Cecile Raynor, an Alexander Technique teacher in Boston, Massachusetts. She's been teaching for about 20 years with a wide range of students. And she also has produced a CD to help students, or really anybody, to do something that, well, she calls it active resting. Sometimes it's called constructive rest. Sometimes it's called Alexander lying down. It goes by different names, but it's basically a very specific way to lie down that can have a lot of beneficial effects. And we're going to talk a little bit about that process. But I'd like to, so Cecile, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert.
Could you begin by just giving our listeners a short description of the Alexander Technique?
All right. The Alexander Technique is a mind-body approach to reclaiming effortless postural balance and freer movement by freeing ourselves from harmful habitual patterns of body and mind.
Right. And constructive rest or active resting, however we want to call it, seems in some ways to be a kind of a retreat from activity. That is, if the Alexander Technique is about how we do things, active rest is, I guess you could almost say, about how we don't do anything, or not anything obvious, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. I always find that some students stick to it really quickly. They love it right away. And those who need it the most are the one who have trouble finding the time,
yes,
or they find the time and they fidget. They just can't lay still. And so that's an interesting aspect, which shows how it really challenges our habitual pattern when it comes to activity.
So maybe what would be good, it would be for you to give a short description of what is involved with active rest or constructive rest.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, there's different aspects. There's the fact that when we're laying down, I always explain the physical part, how the disc between the vertebrae expand. There's like a liquid going to it as we're resting, and they expand, and it naturally makes the spine lengthen and the back lengthen and widen, and they expand not just in length but in width. So the little muscle along the spine are happy, and then the big muscle are happy, and before we know it, the whole posture reorganizes itself without us having to do anything, and except maybe at the beginning be clear about how much headrest to put under the head so that the head is neither falling back nor overstretched up or forward and up, and how to find a balance between the with the knees bent and the feet flat so that we're not holding them in place. Often I tell my students to maybe bring their knees to their chest and roll side to side for a second, and then bring their feet one at a time down so that their lower back, not with the intention of forcing a lengthening, but just priming the lower back to relax through active resting. So that's the physical part. It's going to help the body go back into a better posture. The floor is guiding the skeleton as to reorganize itself and being open and out. But of course, then there's the other dimension.
You know, before you get to the other dimension, I think it would be good to say a little bit about just describe the lying down position a little more. Basically, you're lying on your back on a firm surface, mm-hmm, could be the floor, could be a carpeted floor, could even be a fairly firm massage table. A lot of Alexander teachers, mm-hmm, work with students in that position on a table. So there is, as you say, some support under the head, and you described what considerations there are for that. And then I believe the version of there are a number of versions of active rest or constructive rest in terms they all involve having your knees elevated relative to your hips. I guess the classic version is you're lying down and your knees are bent and your feet are flat on the floor. And of course, you have to make sure that there's enough friction between the soles of your feet and the surface you're on that you're not going to be sliding forward all the time. So it may mean putting on a different pair of socks or whatever. So that's the classic version of it. And then other versions would have you put a bolster of some kind under your knees, and then that eliminates any effort that you have to make. It's somewhat less challenging. Or putting your lower legs on a couch or something like that to get again to have your the key there is to have your knees elevated and to put yourself in a situation where there's really nothing that you have to do to be there, and yet you're conscious.
Every time, I encourage people to really give it a good try to have their feet flat on the ground, but by moving their heels slightly to find a balance point, just because I think if people can do that, they also have a chance to release through their ankles and feet in a way similar to sitting at a chair or standing. And I believe that every time they release through their ankles and feet that way, they're also making their postural mechanism more alive.
Right,
So I,
you're
yeah.
introducing an element that is having the feet on the soles of the feet on the ground and some weight coming onto them, a little bit echoes standing or even sitting. So r
Exactly.
real life activities, whereas the bolster approach or the couch approach, it really takes you as far from any activity, any active activity as it's
Exactly.
possible to get. And I have to say my own personal preference is for the zero work one, but
Zero.
that may reflect inherent laziness on my part.
Yeah,
But
it's more resting.
either way that you do it, you're
Yes.
putting yourself in a situation where you're doing either no work at all or very little work, and yet you're mentally present. And that's a pretty unusual situation to be in for most people. I mean, most people, they could be lying in bed and not doing anything, but they usually go to sleep fairly soon, so they're no longer conscious. And it's the consciousness that really makes a huge difference here, that you're aware you can, after you do this for a bit. You could do some Alexander self-directing to enhance the process. But even just being in that position, not knowing anything about the Alexander technique, can be pretty helpful too.
One thing we didn't talk about is also what we do with our arms. I know that a lot of people, when they're resting, especially if they tend to do yoga, they might have their arms laying on the side with the palm on the floor. And I usually encourage people not to do that because I think that it kind of encourages the rotation of the shoulders in when you rest like that. So I tell people that if they want their arms out, they should have them out to the side in whatever angle is comfortable, but with the palm up, or from the elbow, bend the forearm onto the chest, and again, find a place where it's comfortable and where the hand, wrist, and forearm are kind of aligned. So I think that's another important part of the description.
So the palms of their hands might be on somewhere on their torso.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that when I talk to students about about this. I often describe it as a all the things that you said, the little discs between the vertebrae absorb fluid. And I also typically will ask a student when they're lying down, do they know that they're taller in the morning than at night? And I have discovered that the world is divided into two groups.
Oh, really?
One group knew about it all, from childhood, and another group has never heard of it and often finds it a little difficult to believe. So I tell my new students, go home, measure your height late at night and first thing in the morning and see what you find out. And of course, most people are, half an inch taller, some people even more. And it's that very absorbing of fluids and the release that comes with that. But I also point out that doing Alexander lying down is kind of the next step up from just plain old lying down. You
Exactly.
know, it actually kind of telescopes the process a little bit.
Yeah. And there's another thing that came back to my mind, which is I also mentioned that gravity, when we're laying down like this, gravity is what helps our shoulders release back and out,
Absolutely.
and we don't have to push our shoulders back or anything. They're going to naturally go back and out. And I tell people that one, what we're doing when we're doing active resting is what we want to be doing when we're standing or sitting, encouraging us to release back and out and into length. And so anyway, it's just a way to describe what we're looking for when we're standing or sitting or walking.
And typically, when you're lying down, the little bump on the back of your head, occiput, is resting somewhere in the center of whatever surface you're using to rest your head on. Usually, Alexander teachers like to use books a lot. And if you then trace a line along the back of your neck or the person's neck who's lying down. It's pretty clear that everything, the entire neck, and even some of the vertebrae below the neck, are typically sort of suspended in space. There's a gap between them and the surface of the floor, and as you say, gravity is operating at a 90-degree angle on those on your spine compared to what it normally is, and is in fact encouraging if you are, let's say, if you are tightening your neck, which is pretty darn common in the world, if that's what you're doing, gravity is acting in a way to encourage a release of that tension without you actually doing anything or even necessarily thinking anything. You can just be there, and there's gravity helping you to release the very tension that we Alexander Technique teachers are a bit fixated on, which is neck tension, because it's so important for our overall functioning.
And that's why, I had mentioned earlier that I heard of students who inherited my CD and practice even though they never had Alexander, and they used to have tension in their neck and lower back, and just doing active resting cleared some of that enough. It totally took the edge off, and they didn't know anything about the technique. So it's amazing that something that simple can do so much.
In a way, it's almost too simple for people to appreciate. A lot of times people will say, oh, just lying like that's going to help me out. There's a certain level of skepticism. I actually had a student who had been coming for lessons on and off over a period of 3 or 4 years. And she was at a workshop where I was demonstrating the lying down position before a group of people, and I was going on about some of the kind of things that we've just been talking about. And the next time I saw her, In a private lesson, we did a little table work, and she said, "You know, I always thought you were—I didn't think you really meant it when you said I should lie down every day for 15 or 20 minutes.
Oh, wow!
I thought it was just something you said." And I said, "Well, you know," I said, "really, you thought I just kind of made that up?" And she said, "Oh, I didn't know about that." But it kind of dawned on her that this actually was an incredibly useful investment in time to do that, a few minutes a day.
Yeah. And another thing I want to add is that sometimes students who already have a meditation practice, you know, it's hard for everybody to find time to do everything. So they're always asking me, can I do this instead of my meditation, my sitting practice? Mm-hmm. And I tell them that absolutely, that can totally be a meditation. Or they could choose to do 10 minutes of that and then 10 minutes of sitting. This way they'll be in a better place to sit. So there's a variety of ways to doing it, but definitely active resting has that dimension. It's not just to rest the body. It's not just to realign the body. It's also to quiet the mind, and it's also to develop mindfulness. And so whether we do that with that intention, or whether we're going to be listening to some music or whatever, that's going to also affect the extent of the benefit. We can listen to music and still benefit on a physical level. But if we want to turn it into a meditation, then practicing mindfulness, which is to be aware of what we do while we do it.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I had a student who found it very difficult to be in one place for that length of time. She was somewhat of a type A personality, and you know, she just, the idea of being still, doing essentially nothing for 10 minutes was very challenging for her. But she also was very interested in the Dalai Lama, and she came up with a solution for her, which was to listen to tapes or CDs or whatever of the Dalai Lama's lectures and talks as her quote activity while she was lying down. And she said, you know, after I did that a few times, I could lie down for 15 minutes. It was no problem at all.
Exactly.
And it was really enjoyable. And I felt so much better when I got up.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, other people do listen to meditation tape. I mean, I tell them whatever takes them to do it, to start with, is fine, especially if it's connected to what they're doing. It's definitely a meditation practice. And I know I had a thought that crossed my mind, and it zipped right by, but it'll come back maybe.
It might be interesting just to say how this position originated. Are you familiar with at least the version I've heard of Alexander, the developer of our work? He would work with students, and then I guess the way in which he taught in the early days, it kind of people would come out of a lesson, they want to lie down for a little while. They were kind of worn out from all that new way of moving and so on.
Yeah, I remember that from the training.
Right. And Alexander, being the kind of guy he was, he had a kind of a couch or some kind of a couch in his outer office, and he would see these students having emerged from his office, lying down on the couch, and he thought, well, why waste that time? So he got some of his assistants to work with them a little bit while they were lying down.
I never heard that.
Yeah, and that's actually the origin of, at least as I heard it, the origin of Alexander Table Work.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. So, thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Anyway, well, maybe this is a good place to bring our conversation to an end.
Okay.
So my guest today has been Cecile Raynor, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Boston, Massachusetts, and she has also produced a CD, which is available from her website, that will guide you through the process of active rest or constructive rest, however we want to call it, or Alexander lying down. We'll put a link to her website by the interview. If anything that we've been talking about interests you and you want to explore having Alexander lessons and you live in the Boston area, be sure to get hold of her from her website, or you can order the CD through her website. And if you live anywhere else in the world, we'll have a link to a site where you can learn more about the Alexander Technique. And we'll also put a link to a page on that site that is devoted entirely to to Alexander Constructive Rest. And that site will also enable you to find a teacher anywhere in the world. Cecile, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Robert.